Our scripture reading on this Day of All Saints is taken from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 25th chapter, beginning with the 7th verse. He will destroy on this mountain the surface of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. The rebuke of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. And it will be said in that day, Behold, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. The 19th century author Henry David Thoreau said this famous line, Most men lead lives of quiet desperation and go to the grave with the song still in them. Is that true? The first time I heard that, I thought, that's kind of an overstatement. Most men lead lives of quiet desperation. I think what he's getting at is that inside of every one of us there is a deep sense, a yearning or a striving to have our lives be better. We recognize that there's a lot of imperfection around us and in our world and even in us. And there's this desire, this push, this striving inside of us that we just want things to be better. The fathers of our nation even talked about the pursuit of happiness, this pushing and striving and wanting something better that's just naturally inside of individuals. We want to improve the experience that we have going through this life. We just want our lives to get better. We want something that is going to make it feel better so that we experience it in a way that is a little happier and so on. To push the happiness needle up is what we want. And it's like we have a sense that there is some type of perfect life. There's something up there that feels like it would be attainable, but then again, we can never quite define what it is. And we never quite get there either. But we sure look for it. Maybe if I can just get some more stuff around myself, I'll feel better. Maybe if I can just go get the right objects in my life and use them, that will make me reach a greater degree and a higher level and sense of fulfillment and happiness. Maybe if I just get more money to be able to do more of the things that I want, I'll be able to get that feeling right. Maybe if I can get my body to be healthier, maybe if I can get it to be stronger or more athletic, maybe there's something I could do with my physical body that could make it better so that I could reach this higher sense of happiness for myself. Or maybe if I find the right person to bring into my life, maybe if I can somehow establish a certain relationship with someone, that will give me the sense of happiness that will fulfill my life and make me feel this level of perfection that I'm looking for. Or maybe I need to put something into my body. Maybe my reality of my world and my life is so bad and so terrible and it stinks so much that I need to put something into my veins or into my lungs or into my mouth that will alter my mind and alter my consciousness and my sense of my reality so that I can find a little bit higher, better reality, even if it's a fantasy reality for a while. Maybe if I look into this screen or this box long enough, maybe if I use those little controllers and find the right game where I'm in control and where I think that I have the world and I can win all the time, maybe that's where I can find a little bit better sense of happiness for myself. Maybe it's in sexual gratification and pleasure. But with all of these things, as wonderful as they may make us feel for a while, they always let us down. There's always a valley that comes afterwards. Yeah, there are brief moments when we can feel like maybe we're getting a little bit closer and better and higher in that realm of what would feel perfect for us. But there's always this natural gravity that brings it back to the earth. Like Martin Luther said, our striving for this perfection is like throwing a stone up into the air. And it always comes back to the ground, further lower than the hand that once threw it. Last night, I came driving home through a whole bunch of trick-or-treaters and brought back memories to me of running from house to house, looking for that best candy bar. And that's kind of what life can kind of be for us sometimes. We scurry around, running from place to place, thinking that we're going to find that next thing that is going to fulfill us. And then it does for a while. It tastes great for a while. It's something that makes us feel better for a while, but the next day we wake up and we just have another taste for more sugar. In Ecclesiastes it says, all is vanity and grasping for the wind. That's really it. Maybe Thoreau is right. Most men lead lives of quiet desperation. Our text describes it this way, that there is a covering over all people. It's an interesting way to put it, a covering, a veil, the prophet says, over all nations. It's like a big, fat, heavy blanket of despair that weighs us down, that weighs us into sadness and having to deal with the imperfection and futility of this life. And really what he's describing there is the blanket that got rolled out onto humanity and onto all creation and over all of us because of the fall into sin. So the question then remains, can a human body, mind, soul, spirit, can you actually ever experience perfection? The prophet comes through with an emphatic yes. Listen, God will destroy on this mountain the surface of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. The rebuke of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. Today we celebrate an ancient festival in the church called All Saints' Day, which was why last night was called Hallowed Evening, the night before that. But All Saints' Day was a very special day in the church when the church would take time to think about and focus on those who, because of faith in Christ, are now already enjoying the perfect life that there is waiting for us in heaven. Those who, by God's grace through faith in their Savior, are already getting to know what it's like for a human being to actually experience and live in complete and total perfection, where there's no more need for striving, where the blanket and the pall of sin has been lifted off and removed. And this is what Jesus was talking about when he came to this world and he said, I have come that you may have life, and that more abundantly than all the stuff you can do and get here that sometimes can feel good, but ultimately that feeling of pleasure goes away. I have come, he says, to give you more than that. To give you an experience in perfection in your future. And he did that, ironically, of all the strange ways by going and suffering on the cross and experiencing our own death and taking all of your sins and mine on himself and then going into a cold grave and rising again triumphantly before he ascended to heaven. And those of us now who believe and put our trust and confidence in him, we likewise possess the same potential future of experiencing absolute perfection. One of the great events in the life of our Lord was his transfiguration on that mountain and how some of his disciples came along to observe this. It's quite an interesting account. And how these two great Old Testament figures who had passed away hundreds of years before, Moses and Elijah, suddenly are standing there with Christ on this mount, glowing in his glory and so on. Saints who have already been enjoying the perfection of heaven. And then here on the ground are the disciples cowering in fear and trembling and shaking, having to witness this. It's kind of an awesome sight, and they're amazed by it. At the same time, they're terrified. And right there in that story and account, you have the two parts of Christ's church. Members from the church triumphant, who have no problem standing in Christ's glory, and members of the church militant, still striving and fighting with sin in this world, and they're cowering. And yet they're all focused on Christ. They're all focused on the one who can deliver us from this veil of tears. And on that day, Isaiah tells us, the Lord will wipe away tears from all faces. John's revelation says, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. That's got to be one of the most beautiful Bible passages there is for us in our future because of what Christ has done. God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. To be able to someday live in and experience perfect glory. To be able to, in yourself, your body, soul, and mind, actually feel and experience what it's like to have a saintly status that you presently have in God's eyes through Christ, but to actually be that in reality, to know yourself without any sin, without any possibility of pain or suffering or death, or any imperfection at all. What an amazing day that will be. And so even now, for all of us who have loved ones who have gone on before us and who are already enjoying that perfect reality in heaven, may our reunion with them be the very magnet that draws us again to Christ, who alone can take us there and make it our reality. Amen. Please rise. We pray. Almighty God, you have knit together your elect in one communion and fellowship in the mystical body of your Son, Christ our Lord. Grant us grace to follow your blessed saints in all virtuous and godly living, that we may come to those unspeakable joys which you've prepared for those who truly love you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.